This is almost like an overnight change of Hong Kong. If this bill is being passed, it would change Hong Kong forever.
Massive street protests continue in Hong Kong. It's Monday, June 17th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're glad to have you with us. You'll also find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Coming up, Australia pushes ahead for more coal. Indians seek better opportunities farther north. The U.S. presidential race gathers steam. A young Afghan tech prodigy and a master of the ages. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Hong Kong residents again took to the streets in massive numbers Sunday to protest a controversial extradition bill. The protest comes after Hong Kong authorities suspended the proposal indefinitely over public concerns it left people vulnerable to being sent to communist-controlled mainland China. As VOA's Bill Gallo reports, the demands of the protesters appear to be changing.
A show of force by protesters in Hong Kong after authorities suspended but did not kill a controversial extradition bill. Their message, just pausing the bill isn't good enough. Many are concerned the bill means they risk being extradited to China with its politicized judicial system. Following some of the biggest protests in Hong Kong's history, on Saturday, the government here paused the bill.
There was a real question coming into Sunday whether the decision to suspend this extradition bill would help satisfy some of the protesters enough so that they wouldn't come out into the streets in mass numbers. As you can see behind me, that is not the case. Many people here are not happy. They've dressed up in black. They want this bill completely killed. They're also calling for Carrie Lam, the chief executive here, to step down.
Lam, a pro-Beijing leader, is fighting for her political life. Many protesters blame her for the violence that erupted during protests last week.
I think the bill should be taken off and Carrie Lam should step down. We don't trust her.
If the extradition is approved, Hong Kong is equal to China.
This is an end game. This is almost like an overnight change of Hong Kong if this bill is being passed. It would change Hong Kong forever.
Lam on Sunday apologized for her handling of the situation, but gave no signs of further concessions. For many here who are already worried about China's growing influence, the future looks more uncertain than ever. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Hong Kong.
Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says President Donald Trump plans to discuss the Hong Kong issue with his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping at the upcoming G20 summit in Japan. Hong Kong, a former British colony, was granted special autonomy for 50 years after it returned to Chinese sovereignty in 1997. But many in Hong Kong are concerned China is slowly encroaching on these rights and tightening its grip on the territory. The so-called Umbrella Movement protests were launched in 2014 to demand the direct election of the city's top leader after China reneged on promises of universal suffrage by 2017. Those protests ended without winning any concessions from the Hong Kong government. These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you go online and visit voanews.com. Hundreds of thousands demand Hong Kong leader's resignation. G20 ministers meeting in Japan agree to tackle ocean plastic waste. Earthquake strikes island chain off of New Zealand, no tsunami. India hikes tariffs on U.S. goods amid deepening trade friction. Taliban and United States set to hold crucial round of Afghan peace talks. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as our voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We continue with VOA Asia. One of Australia's most controversial coal projects has finally been approved after years of delay over environmental concerns. Construction on the Indian-run Adani mine in Queensland state is expected to start within days. The mine has symbolized a bitter debate in Australia over jobs and action against climate change. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
The Adani Carmichael mine in Queensland's Galilee Basin is one of Australia's biggest resources projects and its most controversial. For years, conservationists have challenged the Indian company's plans to extract up to 60 million tonnes of coal from the site each year. But approval has finally been granted by the Queensland state government after earlier receiving the go-ahead from federal authorities. Construction could begin within days, although Adani, the Indian mining giant, still needs additional consent to extract coal. The company says its plan is environmentally responsible, and regulators say the approval process had been rigorous. Environmentalists, however, believe the true ecological impact of the huge mine is unknown. Kelly O'Shaughnessy, the head of the Australian Conservation Foundation, is worried about its effect on water resources and one of the world's last unspoilt desert oases.
The groundwater experts have been saying for some years now that there's some significant concerns with the Adani's assumptions that the Doomba Springs won't be affected. Nothing has changed over those years, but the Queensland government put Adani's profits over the advice of scientists, which is incredibly disappointing, as governments are supposed to be putting the people first and our needs for water, not the profits of a big corporation.
The Adani mine has been a flashpoint for pro and anti-coal groups, and it symbolises much broader divisions in Australia over climate change and jobs. Australia is a major exporter of coal, which generates most of its electricity. Coal is mined in every state and employs about 50,000 people. Critics, though, argue that the fossil fuel sector is fading and that, as well as contributing to greenhouse gas emissions, the Adani mine risks polluting the Great Barrier Reef that lies off the Queensland coast.
Phil Mercer is also following a story that you may feel you want to forget, and sadly, many people are. Research from the Australian National University is warning of the link between the extra calories in a fast food burger and brain diseases, including dementia. The ANU study also reinforces the link between type 2 diabetes, which is often triggered by obesity, and the rapid deterioration of brain function.
My dad has dementia.
I have early onset dementia.
I have younger onset dementia.
He was normal.
Dementia is the leading cause of death in Australian women, while for men, it's second only to heart disease. Researchers believe there's a clear link between the deterioration of the brain and an unhealthy diet, as well as a lack of exercise. There is a warning that highly processed fast food that's cheap, widely available, and loaded with calories, sugar, and fat is leading to significant harm. The study from the Australian National University says that the damage to the brain is almost certainly irreversible once a person reaches middle age. Professor Nicholas Sherburn says lifestyle choices really do matter.
Poorer diet leads to the development of obesity. It's compounded by the lack of physical activity. It leads to an increased level of inflammation in our body, which when it's in response to trauma is a good thing, but when it's constantly there, it creates damage. It also kills neurons. So it affects our brain function, and it leads to ultimately a greater risk of developing dementia later in life.
The research says that about a third of the world's adult population is either overweight or obese. The advice is to eat well and exercise from a young age. It's estimated that dementia affects almost 50 million people worldwide, and the global cost of the brain syndromes, including Alzheimer's disease, is more than $800 billion. At present, there's no prevention or cure for most forms of dementia. However, some medication has been found to reduce some symptoms. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Happening now in Asia, group of 20 environment ministers agreed to adopt a new implementation of framework for actions to tackle the issue of marine plastic waste on a global scale. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has said he wants his country to lead the world in reducing marine plastic trash. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's a brand new week. We're glad you're with us on VOA Asia. For nearly five decades, the United States was the top choice for Indian students and professionals wanting to migrate. But as Washington puts in place more restrictive immigration policies, tens of thousands of young Indians are heading to Canada, which has opened its doors to immigrants to plug shortages of skilled workers. From New Delhi, Anjana Pasricha reports.
As they packed their bags in their New Delhi home, Ankit Gupta and his wife, Shubhi, were excited. The young couple, both accountants, had an invitation for permanent residency in Canada, similar to a green card in the United States. They wanted to migrate to a developed country that would offer their 9-year-old daughter a brighter future and give them better work-life balance. They seized the opportunity offered by Canada, which is aiming to take in 1 million skilled immigrants by 2021.
US was never in my mind, to be very honest. You know, from the beginning, I was looking for a place which provides me, my family, especially my daughter, a kind of life where she is, or she can actually do and prosper whatever she wants to do, you know, and nobody's there to stop her. So there's not much of a competition, you know, she can actually think and just follow her dreams.
Besides young professionals, thousands of students are also opting for Canada because the path to citizenship is easier. As Nikhil Kumar applied for postgraduate studies overseas, he never considered the United States the top choice for Indians for decades. After struggling to get a decent opening since graduating from a Delhi college, he is considering a life overseas. But as work visas in the United States become harder to come by, Kumar is opting for universities in Canada, a country that offers job opportunities and simpler access to permanent residency.
US, there are stricter laws and, you know, the PR, and there's a lot of problem that is being faced by Indian students over there. So I feel, you know, why waste time on that when I'm getting the same kind of education? Canada is also one of very good places to get the same education.
As they headed to Canada, the Gupta said uprooting themselves was a challenge.
It's never easy to leave a secure life behind, right? India is a progressing country. You have your family here. You have a well-secured, well-paid job here.
But as India becomes more crowded, its air more polluted, good schools and colleges hard to gain admission to due to intense competition, Indians are among the top seekers of permanent residency in Canada.
Low population, people are friendly, nice culture, you know, you can kind of take your culture over there and, you know, share it amongst people over there. And education is good, health is good, the place is perfect, so it's great.
As growing barriers make US shores more distant, the allure of Canada for immigrants is rising. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
Coming up, the latest on the brewing U.S. presidential race. You're listening to VOA Asia.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
This news alert from VOA Asia. India has hiked tariffs on 28 goods imported from the United States as a trade spat between the two countries intensifies. The retaliatory move came days after Washington removed New Delhi from a list of countries that have preferential access to its market. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, the 2020 presidential election is still a way off. But President Donald Trump already appears to be setting his sights on Democratic presidential contender and current frontrunner Joe Biden. Nearly two dozen other Democratic candidates are also targeting Biden just weeks before the first monthly debates among the party's contenders. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone provides us a status report on the 2020 presidential campaign from Washington.
So please welcome Vice President Joe Biden.
In the early voting state of Iowa, Democratic Party frontrunner Joe Biden wastes little time in going after President Donald Trump.
But this is a guy who does everything to separate and frighten people. It's about fear and loathing. It's about what the way he calls people, the names he calls them. No president has done something like that, for God's sake. I mean, it's bizarre, and it's damaging.
Well, thank you very much.
Biden is apparently on the president's mind as well, as Trump considers possible challengers for next year.
Joe never got more than 1%, except Obama took him off the trash heap, and now it looks like he's failing. It looks like his friends from the left are going to overtake him pretty soon. But I heard, his whole campaign is to hit Trump.
Polls show Biden leading the Democratic presidential field, with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders generally trailing in second place.
So this is what you've got left over.
Among those on the rise is Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, with a focus on policy specifics and passion.
On the question of gun violence, I will be fearless. We will fight side by side, and we will protect our children.
The other thing that's at stake right now.
Also gaining is South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who offers the party a younger alternative.
New thinking, bold action, a focus on the future. I'm running for president because of the seriousness of the moment that we're living in.
Trump has emerged as the central issue in the Democratic primary battle, which appears to be benefiting Biden, says analyst Larry Sabato.
A large majority tell pollsters they want, above all, someone who will beat Trump. They are willing to take a nominee with whom they disagree on a wide variety of issues because they will agree with that candidate more than they will agree with Trump.
Recent polls show Biden beating Trump by a wide margin, but the president is eager to dismiss the entire Democratic field as too far to the left.
Every day, the Democrat Party is becoming more and more unhinged and more extreme. They're going crazy. Do you love it? I sort of love it, right?
Trump is hoping Democrats nominate a hard left candidate, says Larry Sabato.
The Republicans and Trump want to make the Democrats overconfident. If they're overconfident, they're more likely to nominate a candidate who's well to the left, pleasing the Democratic activists, but nearly guaranteeing a defeat in November of 2020. So that's the hidden agenda behind what you're hearing from the Trump camp.
The 2020 race moves into a new phase later this month, with the first official Democratic debates featuring 20 presidential contenders. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
This news break from VOA Asia. A magnitude 7.4 earthquake struck an arc of islands off New Zealand Sunday. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center said it could cause only minor sea level changes. New Zealand's Ministry of Civil Defense and Emergency Management quickly cleared New Zealand of a tsunami threat. All the big stories came your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, in December of 2018, the White House released its Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math, or STEM, education strategy for the next 5 years to encourage students to study in those fields. With high demands for STEM jobs, students across the country are eager to pursue those careers. 12-year-old Ahmad Sawari is an Afghan immigrant, a student dreaming of working in Silicon Valley, and many say he has the talent to take him there. VOA's Munaza Shahid tells us what she learned after visiting Sawari and his school.
Moving to a new city is difficult, but moving to a new country comes with unique challenges for a 12-year-old kid.
When I first came to the U.S., I didn't have any friends because I was not able to interact with them in English. But within a few months, I learned English and made many friends.
But what separates Ahmad Sarwari from his fellow seventh graders is that he is designing video games and creating websites at a young age and while doing so, assisting his family financially.
So far now, I'm just like creating website for people by email. Like they email me, tell me to create a website for me, like for their business, for their like for their selves, personal websites, and for their like their life website and everything.
Sarvari is from an Afghan immigrant family who moved to the United States just a couple of years ago. And in such a short time, he has managed to draw a lot of attention at his school.
I noticed that he's very, very good at math. And then also in the beginning of the year, he had regular math. And everyone that was in his class before was very, very confused. They're like, why isn't he in honors math? And then he ended up getting moved because he took a test and he got moved to honors math.
Anything he wants to do, I believe he'll be able to do. If I had to pick a category or a discipline he's going to go into, I would say someplace in technology, because he is just a natural when it comes to computers and coding. I could see him doing animations. I could see him doing movies, being a director, doing editing for movies, anything in that technology area, even an engineer, technology engineer.
Sarvari's goal in life is to work in the information technology field, and particularly in Silicon Valley, where the demand for STEM jobs attracts talent from around the world. Munaza Shahid, VOA News, Anaheim, California.
It's indisputable Leonardo da Vinci was an artistic and scientific genius, but getting a handle on his consummate but temperamental master of the arts is difficult. VOA's Kevin Enix reports a new display of his work and some new research into his state of mind are shedding new light on the artistic master.
It's been 500 years since Leonardo da Vinci died, but thanks to a new art installation in Milan, he can still say hello. Here, visitors can see some of his most famous works, but also some of his flights of fancy, paddle boats and flying machines.
We created this room imagining his flying machines. He designed a lot of different machines, so we created a few of them in 3D that fly over his landscapes, his backgrounds, among which there is his famous landscape of Vinci, the one he painted and drew as a child when he was making his first steps as an artist.
Everything is designed to take some of Da Vinci's great works, even his sketches and simple ideas, and turn them into multimedia sensory experiences.
It's an homage to Leonardo and also our vision of where these multimedia exhibits can go in the future, not only an immersive room, but the creation of different sensorial experiences.
One of the peculiarities of Leonardo's life was that he left behind so much unfinished work. One researcher says that suggests that the artist, known for being temperamental, may have been suffering from what most people think of as a thoroughly modern malady, attention deficit disorder.
Obviously, any psychiatric diagnosis is difficult to make because we don't have biological markers, but I'm quite confident that ADHD, among all the suggestions that have been made in the past, is the most plausible explanations for Leonardo, dissipative genius, and erratic behavior.
The possibility that Leonardo had ADHD is a hopeful diagnosis because it shows that someone with a learning disability can accomplish a lot.
If Leonardo da Vinci had ADHD, anyone can have ADHD, and anyone is entitled really to aspire to achieve all that. What is their potential and what they were meant to achieve.
Leonardo's work will be on display in Milan through September. Kevin Enix, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us on the radio around Asia. Great radio stations like U Radio of Hatay University, FM 101.25 at Hatay University in Thailand. We thank everyone there who's tuned into our program today. We'd also like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Zainab Abdel-Rahman, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Anna Cook. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day.